where there was a law throughout the United States that a black person could not keep a job if a white person didn't have one. So if a black person had a job and a white person did not have a job, then you were to make the you're to fire the black person to in order to make room for the white person to have a job. All right. So the same thing is happening now. It's like, oh, let's fire all these black people because we need these white people to have jobs. But the joke's on you because AI has made it so that ain't nobody gonna have a job. How about that?
A Black Executive Perspective now presents Need to Know with the award-winning hyphenated Dr. Nsenga Burton. Dr. Burton, what do we need to know?
Good afternoon and welcome to Need to Know with Dr. Nsenga Burton. I am she. I hope that you are having a fabulous day today. Today I want to talk to you about strategy. I think that if we are going to get out of this mess that just is ridiculous as it relates to 47's current term and the just level of corruption that is happening in our full face. Like, a president can ask for $280 million for himself and says that the government should have to pay for it. That's on top of another $180 million for something else, taking gifts from foreign entities. I mean, just it's too much. It's too much. You know, when your mama say, you know what, you're doing too much. Your friends say, you know what, girl, you look great. Just come on, you're doing too much. You know, we're like way past that. We're in the political version of doing too much and getting away with too much, you know, in addition to doing too much. And the Democrats have got to get a strategy in place. They have got to master this communication piece. They have got to get rid of these agents of chaos who are no longer Democrats. They're not Democrats. They're not Republicans. They're not even really independent. They are, you know, kind of our version of the anarchists on the other side who have taken over the Republican Party, right? Because the people who are in charge now, they're not real Republicans. You know, they don't think that real Republicans are conservative enough. You know, they're like, ha, 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 Mitt Romney's not a Republican. He's not conservative enough. Ha, 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 Mitch McConnell's not a Republican. He's not conservative enough. These are anarchists. They're anarchists. They are for the destruction of government, right? And so they have this guy in there who was neither a Democrat or a Republican. It was now the president. And, you know, all you have to do is stroke his ego a little bit. And he'll say, like, sure, let's blow up some boats going to Venezuela. No problem. Yeah, let's go ahead and tear up the East Wing of the White House and use a weapons contractor to do it. What? We are in the upside down, people. We are in the upside down, people. And I need my Democrats to know. And I usually don't tell how I vote because I actually vote how I feel. I'm a registered Democrat, but I have voted Republican before. So let me just go ahead and put that out there. Not recently. Definitely not in the last decade. Definitely not in the last decade. But locally, I have. The point is this. We got to get a strategy in place or it's going to be curtains. Like, even in these midterms that you think, oh, people are going to be tired of being abused. They're going to be tired of being hungry. They already forgot that their relatives died unnecessarily back when COVID was in place. These people are not going to get tired. They thrive on pain. They thrive on, they're sadists. I've been saying this for years, Tony. They're sadists. These are people who are like, oh my God, you can't feed your family? Good. Then maybe you'll work harder. Oh, but there are no jobs in the market. Then create something, figure it out. Typically, it's people who have not had any competition or have had everything given to them, right? And then even, you know, even with the current market, you know, all of these unemployed black women. And I just interviewed a wonderful person for an article I'm writing. And she was talking about, you know, legally, back in the day, because I know y'all think it's so long ago, but it actually wasn't. It's within my lifetime. It's within Tony's lifetime. It's within people who are older than us, my parents' lifetime, you know, where there was a law throughout the United States that a black person could not keep a job if a white person didn't have one. So if a black person had a job and a white person did not have a job, then you were to make the fire the black person in order to make room for the white person to have a job. All right. So the same thing is happening now. It's like, oh, well, let's fire all these black people because we need these white people to have jobs. But the joke's on you because AI has made it so that ain't nobody gonna have a job. How about that? So when we got 47 in place who does not care about people being unemployed, does not care about whether people can eat or feed their families. He doesn't matter, care what party you're in. He doesn't care if you voted for him or not. Right. We are in trouble. And the Democrats have got to get a strategy in place. And one that goes beyond just getting people out to vote. That shit is not working. Excuse my language. You know, we're winning the popular vote. We're winning the popular vote. It's not working because we have an electoral college. Thus and so, you need a different strategy. You have to do something. So just like the Republicans or the anarchists, I call them, have, you know, booed up with the tech bros, and they have these white supremacist, white nationalist organizations coming in, buying up the networks. And I had this conversation with my best friend. She's brilliant. But where are our Democratic investors? Where are our people buying media? Where are people buying, making investments in which they have influence so that they can also help kind of stymie some of this, you know, what I call a corporate takeover? Like, where are our people? Do we not have any? Are they all Republicans? Right. You know, so I don't think so. And, you know, George Soros can't be the only one. So I'm just like, what are we doing? What is the strategy to make sure that our voices are heard, that our people are protected? What are we doing to make that happen? What is the communication strategy? Are we going to keep talking to old white men like, oh my God, we can't upset the white people? Your party, you're talking about, look at the United States, the makeup of the United States. You need to look up at the makeup of your party. And we are tired. We are over the white people. We never were really with them, but, you know, we have to deal with them. We are over that. We're not talking to old white men anymore, wealthy old white men. You know, we want to hear from everybody. We want to protect the rights of everybody. Black people are actually humanists. I know that's a foreign word for most Americans because y'all are individualists. We are humanists. We want everybody to rise. Just leave us the hell alone. Let us do us. You do you. We want everybody to rise. We want everybody to have access to stuff. That's why we never fought and said, oh, we want civil rights, but make sure those people over there don't have it. Make sure this group over there doesn't have it. We wanted civil rights, and everybody got civil rights. They got those benefits. We are humanists in the true definition of the word. All right. So having said that, I'm getting back to my subject, which is strategy. What is the Democratic strategy outside of voting in a place where that is tied to an electoral college that is racist from its inception and does not serve us and the party any longer? What is that strategy? What is the strategy other than Governor Newsom saying, okay, Texas, hold my beer. Y'all want to play with the redistricting and gerrymander? We're going to do the same thing here. What is the actual strategy that we can have? So last week, we talked about that, Tony, about our individual strategies. You know, I was like, file exempt. Hold on to your money as long as you can. You know, my strategy this week is like, we're not buying nothing in the Burton household. My daughter is like, what? No Christmas for us this year. We are not spending a nickel in the Burton household, especially between Black Friday and January 1st. Not a nickel is going out of this house that is not necessary. If it's not a utility, if it's not, you know, a healthcare issue, something like that, it's not, we're not buying nothing. Yeah, Christmas is canceled. Birthday, my daughter and I, Scorpios, I mean, hers is canceled because she being a kid and being bad. So I was like, nope, you're in trouble. Mine is canceled because I'm like, I'm not putting any money into this here economy here. Okay. So that is my strategy, right? To work with the coins the same way we did Target. I'm like, I'm not going to use Amazon, you know, from that whole time period, even before. I'm not going to Walmart. I'm not doing any of that. We will get groceries the best way that we can. I haven't figured it out yet, but I was like, we're going to go to farmers markets. Like, we got to have a strategy on how to hold on to our coins and how to put our money into places that will actually benefit us. If we do buy anything, if I have to buy something, I'm going to try like hell to find a Black owned place. And I know that's not possible for a lot of people, but I live in Black Atlanta. So I can find whatever I need from Black people. And I will do that. Women own businesses, progressive women own businesses. My progressive Latinx folks, my progressive Jewish folks, that's who I will frequent if I have to buy something. Look, my dogs were like, no Christmas, what? So anyway, I want to say in conclusion, Democrats, what is your strategy? We got our little individual strategies. We got our organizational strategies. We got our family strategies. We're trying to work. We're talking through it. We're trying to figure out what are we going to do? What is our plan B? How are we going to fight this onslaught of anarchy? How are we going to control these agents of chaos that have taken over the social media? Many of them, some of them look like me, who keep taking their eye off the prize and focusing on the wrong thing at all times. And let me just say this to you. If you're calling yourself a radical, you indeed are not one. If you're calling yourself a visionary, you are indeed not a visionary. That is something that is given to someone else. And then please stop using the term leftist. We don't have no leftists in the United States. Not a one. Not a one. We don't have any leftists. So please stop letting the Republicans make you then call yourself a leftist. We don't have any. We don't have none. There are no leftists. There are no visionaries. There are no radicals in the United States. You, in fact, are just as bad as the anarchists on the other side. When you purposely derail any momentum that we might have as we work towards trying to figure out what our strategy is going to be. All right. So the eye on the prize is to get this dictator out of office. That's it. What about J.D. Vance? As I said last week, he can get it too. His ass can get out of office too. All right. What about Mike? He can get it too. His ass can get out of office too. All right. But we need a strategy, and we need a strategy from people who are empowered and elected to deliver one. All right. So that is my pitch, my call of action to my Democrats. I need a strategy that we can follow. It does not have to be Project 2025 necessarily, which was like just an amazing strategy. Very well thought out. We do have ChatGPT. Use it for good. Figure out a strategy. Do something. But do something soon, because the Electoral College is not going to work. Y'all focusing on get out to vote. We've been voting. We've been voting, especially the 92%. We've been voting. So we got to do something different. Find a strategy. Where are our billionaires who are investing in our companies, who are using their influence, in industry, and using their influence in community, using their influence for good, for the good of the people in politics? We need those people in the same way that the right, and I call it the white nationalist Christian right, has. We need that on our side. Who are they? Go get them. All right. Thank you. All right. So without further ado, I would love for you to tune in next week to another episode of Need to Know with Dr. Nasinga Burton. I am she. But I also want you to check out a Black Executive Perspective podcast with Tony and Chris, because they have wonderful conversations with people from both sides of the aisle, and people in the middle, and people who are not even really into this stuff, but have great things to offer, and raise compelling questions, ask compelling questions, and raise important issues, during their show. So check them out. So I will see you next week. And next week, when I come back, I hope to be able to deliver a strategy that is coming from someone who is empowered, employed, and elected to do so. If not, I'm just going to keep telling you what I'm thinking about, what me and my friends are talking about. So maybe you can implement some of that in your life and think about the ways that you can make an impact. If in fact, we're going to be disenfranchised, we're not going to be disenfranchised and not have a strategy and not try to find other ways to fight back against what's happening. All right. Have a great day.
A Black Executive Perspective. Ooh.